Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Mitch Evans Experience with you on a Tuesday morning following a Monday evening season opener for the Braves at Turner Field. They beat the Philadelphia Phillies by the score of 7-5. And joining us right now to talk about it, the guy that I sat next to in the press box for a good part of the evening, Bill Shanks, sports columnist for the Macon Telegraph. He's with us here on the WadeFord.com hotline. Bill, good evening, and give me your thoughts on what you saw on Monday evening.
It's a pleasure to be with you, Mitch. It was pretty much what I expected. I was down at spring training for about a week, and heck, it was home run derby down there, and it just carried over to the opening day for the first game of the season for this team. They just carried it over, and they had home run derby. Like I said, the term I keep on coming to my mind, it's like that old TV show we used to see reruns on ESPN 20 years ago from the 1950s, and they'd have, you know, Mickey Mantle going up against Al Kaline or something like that. It's ridiculous of how this lineup can perform, and there's no doubt they were on top of it Monday night.
We immediately saw the home run power. We knew it in spring training. Most home runs in the National League during Grapefruit League play with 49. Any concerns, though, about too much of the swinging for the downs mentality, you think?
Well, I think they're going to be cognizant of that. Greg Walker, I talked with him a little bit about that at spring training, and he said, you know, look, we can't make these guys who are home run hitters and strikeout guys something they're not. So we're going to try to limit the strikeouts. Maybe if we can decrease the strikeouts by 10%, and if everybody goes down a little bit, we'll be in business. And I think they feel that there are some other ways they can score some runs. They can have some doubles. They can, you know, have some station baseball. But, you know, they're going to – I think my only fear is they may fall in that trap where they have a little success early on and they do swing for the fences a little bit, and it's kind of contagious, and especially if they continue to have success the way they have in March and now into April. So it's going to be interesting to see how the lineup evolves over time and how – you know, they have nights when they do struggle to hit home runs, and when that well kind of runs dry, what are the other ways they can score? How can they get Simmons involved in the offense? How can they get the speed of V.J. Upton involved in the offense? That'll be something I think that will evolve over time. But, you know, there's no doubt. I mean, I looked it up when we were sitting there today that, you know, the 2003 Braves with Javi Lopez and Andrew Jones and Chipper and Gary Sheffield and Benny Castillo. I mean, that group had 235 home runs, and this team right here could do the same thing.
Macon Telegraph sports columnist Bill Shanks with us on the WadeFord.com hotline talking about the Braves' 7-5 opening night victory over the Phillies out of Turner Field. Bill, Freddie Freeman was the big gun, three hits, home run, three RBIs, and his two-run shot, which gave the Braves the early lead, but also had an RBI hit after that. I told you, he's my MVP guy. I look at him, and I just see a guy who not many people are paying attention to sort of the way they are a Jason Hayward. But here's a Freddie Freeman who hits for average and can also, I think, is growing into being more of a home run hitter. When he first came up, he was more of a gaps guy. I think now that long ball power is coming to fruition.
I agree. And matter of fact, I'm writing my column for Wednesday on Freddie. And, you know, it was interesting in spring training, Mitch. The real spotlight was on the outfield. It was on Jason Hayward and the two Upton guys. And not many people were really focusing on Freddie. And then you start to kind of think about that lineup of, all right, if Freddie Freeman's hitting fourth or fifth, and these guys are in front of him, he's got a lot of RBI opportunities that are going to come his way. And, you know, there's been, a debate for several years about between Jason Hayward and Freddie Freeman, who was going to be the home run hitter and who was going to be the guy who hits for average. I always thought Freddie had just as much or maybe even more raw power as Jason Hayward. I got that opinion from watching both of them back on the minor league fields back in, like, 2009 when they were both kids. When they were kind of playing home run derby, and Freddie just as good as Jason. I mean, the kid's got enormous talent. Freddie Gonzalez said on Monday night that Greg Walker, the hitting coach, believes that Freddie may have the best raw talent on this team. And I think he's right. I think this kid's in for a big year. He's 30 home runs plus, and, you know, I mean, good grief, he's going to be over 100 RBI with these people in front of him. So, no, I think you're right. This kid is ready for a breakout season, and he's a vital part of that lineup. And we saw today with the stretch at first base, his defense is tremendous there, and that's he loves that defense. I've always asked you about it, and he always says, "I love playing defense," and we see the fruits of that labor of what he's done to become a really good first baseman with plays like what he had Monday night.
Yeah, he loves to show off with that stretch, by the way. That's like his patented move.
Yeah, he does. And he's always been that way. He's always, the first time I interviewed him, Mitch, he was going to Rome in low A. And oh my gosh, he was young. He was just a kid. He was a baby. And boy, but Freddie, he had an appreciation for what being a complete ball player was all about. And that's unusual for a young kid because a lot of times kids come out of high school, they want to be off at the start and not care about the rest of the game. This kid wanted to be a complete ball player, and I think we're seeing him evolve into one right now.
So you brought it up, Bill. We're with Bill Shanks, by the way, columnist for the Macon Telegraph on the WadeFord.com hotline here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. All concentrating on that outfield, and specifically the Upton brothers. Two new faces that aren't named Upton, Chris Johnson and Gerald Laird, they had nice debuts with two hits each for the Braves.
They did, and I can't wait to watch the third base situation. I think we're in for a real treat. It's a great storyline, I believe, Mitch, that here we are on April the 2nd now, after the first game of the season, right after Chipper Jones is retired, and third base is not an issue. 5 years ago, we had been talking about right after Chipper's retirement, how was it going to be? We would have thought, oh, Lord, it's going to be just a catastrophe, and it was going to be impossible to replace Chipper Jones. But look at what they have at third base. They've got Chris Johnson, who's a very nice player. He's not a star, but he's a nice player. Came up with a big hit on Monday night, played well defensively, almost made a great catch. And then we've got Juan Francisco, who we'll see tomorrow night in the game against Roy Halladay. And he was unbelievable at spring training, and they can't wait to see what they've got with Juan Francisco. So to have that situation is outstanding. And Gerald Laird replacing David Ross is a veteran player who they really like. And I tell you what, we may see him in Gattis on Wednesday as well, Mitch. And I think the fans are going to be in for a treat to see this kid because as much power as those Upton kids and Freddie Freeman and Hayward have, Evan Gattis might be right there with them.
All right, before we get to the pitching situation, Tim Hudson in the bullpen, I spoke with Dan Ugle after the game. He was pleased he didn't have to wait until the Braves reached double-digit games to hit his first dinger as he hit a rope shot out there, and that was good to see. Dan's a great guy, and to see him struggling the way he did last year, and we know how he kind of gets off to a slow start. Hopefully he can get off to a good start, a decent start this year.
How great will this lineup be if Dan Ugle, it goes back to what he did in Florida when he had 30 home runs, or even last 2 years ago when he had 36 home runs for the Braves, even though he was inconsistent, he wound up with 36 home runs. I mean, just think of how good this lineup will be. I've said all spring long, I believe that the fact that the pressure's not on Dan Ugle, that everybody's talking about the Upton brothers, about Hayward and Freeman,
right,
and Dan's kind of like lower on the list. I mean, Dan Ugle's not even in the conversation. And, I mean, the people were booing him when he came up to that first at bat, and all of a sudden he hits home run. Now everybody's cheering for him again. The fact that he's not going to be under pressure, the fact that I think his body's better this year, Mitch. He was so big last year. He just looked like a WCW wrestler, for crying out loud. Now he just looks like a normal baseball player and an athlete. He looks more athletic now than he did last year when he was just so big. I think that's going to help him. I think it's going to help his bat speed. And I tell you, if you think this lineup is good, just imagine if Dan Ugle gets to be that high-hitting second baseman. It's going to be a tremendous lineup for this team. And, yeah, I'm pulling for him because he's had two real rough years, and he wants to do well. He wants to help his team, and there's no doubt he's got power. He showed that on Monday night.
All right, Tim Hudson couldn't get out of the fifth, didn't get the win. Luis Avalon, who looked good out of the pen, he got the W in relief. Huddy hit a wall. The big hit in that two-run fifth inning was when he gave up the one-out single to Cole Hamels that got it all going. So I know I didn't get a chance to talk to Tim after the game, but I'm sure he's got to be kicking himself over that.
Yeah, probably so. And, he had a couple of innings where he just had some high pitch counts, and that kind of hurt him. And he ran into a wall. I mean, there's no other way to describe it there in the fifth inning. He was unable to get over that hump. I'm not too concerned. I know there have been some people in spring training that said, well, Tim Hudson's going to be 38 in July. He maybe you're running out of gas. Look, this is the guy who came back from back surgery last year and won 16 games. Yes, he's getting older. He's in his upper 30s, but he is a veteran pitcher you've got to rely on, and they love him. I mean, Roger McDowell talked about him in spring training about he's the Pied Piper that everybody follows, and, you know, he's going to come up with close to 15 wins once again, and that was unusual, obviously, for him not to, to take advantage of that lead, but I think he'll bounce back. I'm confident about this rotation. I think it looks good. I'm excited to see what it does. There's some stability here compared to a year ago, and they didn't know what Hudson was going to do coming back from back surgery, and Turgeon's and Hanson were coming off with some arm issues. There's a much more stability now, and we'll see Paul Mahalam Wednesday night is the second pitcher, and I think, you know, he's in the contract year. He's got a chance to have a really good season. He's a solid pitcher. He's not a star, but he's a solid pitcher, and but, you know, I think Hudson will be fine. I mean, yeah, he struggled a little bit. You know, he struggled early in spring training, Mitch, and then he came back and just shut people down. Mm-hmm. And that's the type of pitcher I think Kim Hudson is.
Wrapping things up with Macon Telegraph sports columnist Bill Shanks. He's with us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Give me some quick observations about the Phillies that you saw.
Well, I have questions about the Phillies outfield. I mean, you and I were talking about Dominic Brown, who had a great spring training, and I think he's really going to be dependent on to have a good season here for the Phillies. But they, you know, they got to see how Michael Young does at third base. They've got to see how the situation kind of unfolds with Revere in center field. They've got to, you know, they got to rely, of course, on Epley and Howard. But and I think tomorrow night's going to be the biggest test of all. We see Roy Halladay. I mean, he did not have a good spring training. They're worried about his velocity. But, you know, if he bounces back, then some of their worries will be taken care of. But they still got Papelbon. They've got Mike Adams out there in that bullpen, who's a very good piece. Estardo is a very good setup man as well. I mean, they've got some new pieces in middle elite, like Chad Turbin, who didn't do very well on Monday night. But they are still to be respected. The Nationals, the Nationals are the class of the division, but the Phillies are still a team you've got to respect. And Udley Howard showed that when they didn't die and roll over and die after they were down by a couple runs on Monday night. They're still in every ball game, and they're going to be right there in this race. I don't think they'll, you know, be a division leader, but they're going to be a problem for both the Braves and the Nationals.
All right, Bill. Enjoy talking to you. Enjoyed hanging out with you during the game, and I'm sure I'll be seeing you up in the press box at Turner Field sometime soon.
Absolutely. Enjoy it as well, Mitch. Thank you so much. Enjoy being on with you.